Welcome to the podfic of Let the World Around Us Just Fall Apart by Temporal Discounting. An Our Flag Means Death podfic, read for you by Little Fingies. Summary: Ed and Steed work together to repair the teeny tiny revenge. This is a fluffy story set during probation era of season 2. For the full tags, look in the show notes or in the archive. This story is rated teen and up audiences, and no archive warnings apply. Let's begin. There we go. That's it, little fella. Let's get you all patched up, shall we? Ed coos softly as he maneuvers the teeny tiny mizzenmast into position. Working at this scale, every minuscule tremor of his hand seems to be magnified tenfold. He exhales slowly to steady his hand, then carefully lines up the splintered mast with the base. He holds it as still as he can while he waits for the glue to set. The problem is, it takes for fucking ever. His bare toes start tapping out a beat on the wooden floor of the captain's cabin of their own accord. Before he knows it, he's singing a shanty under his breath and, yeah, giggling at some of the dirtier lyrics. He gives the tiny mast an experimental wiggle and deflates when it moves far too readily for something he's been holding in position for 100 years already. Fuck. Looks like he's going to be stuck here a while longer yet. Jesus, he's so fucking bored. Maybe there's some way he can make a game of it. Something to make the time pass more quickly. Or maybe he should look at this as a chance to practice what he'd started working on with Fang. That whole learning to sit with himself thing. He can do that. He falls silent. He forces his toes to still. And he waits. He can be quiet. He can be still. He can be a tree, all majestic and... No, wait. Trees wave around in the breeze. Not a tree, then. He can be... a rock. Calm. Ever-present. Unmoving. The stupid fucking bell on Ed's collar echoes around the barren cabin as he squirms. He's got an itch, right between his shoulder blades, no doubt because of this burlap monstrosity he's still having to wear. He leans back, trying to keep his hands in position while he uses the backrest of the chair as a makeshift scratching post. The bell goes nuts as he chases the itch as best he can. He sighs as the itch retreats, eyelids fluttering closed with the relief of it. For a brief moment... just a second, really. He forgets about the model ship. But that lapse in concentration is enough for the mast to come away from the model once more, snapping clean off in Ed's hands. "Fucking motherfucker!" Ed shouts in frustration. He drops the splintered mast onto the table and presses the heels of his palms into his eyes. He can't believe he's back to square fucking one with this piece of shit. Bad time? Ed glances up to see Steed poking his head around the cabin door. He slumps back in his chair in defeat. No, it's just this fiddly fucking thing. I thought I could fix it, but... I dunno, man. I'm not cut out for something this delicate. Steed hums, his brow furrowing as he enters the room, gently closing the door behind himself. I don't think that's true. Steed's booted footsteps sound loud and heavy as he crosses the cabin. It's such a contrast to the clickety-clacking that used to follow him around when he wore those shoes with the frilly bows and high heels. The frills and bows are all gone now, though. Well, most of them. Steed's still wearing that new shirt of his, the dark red one with the ruffles all around the plunging neckline that makes his tits look absolutely fantastic. The one that came as part of a cursed suit or something. Ed kind of wishes he'd gotten to see that. Steed must have looked hot as fuck in it. But then again, Steed looks good in anything. He even managed to make that filthy shirt look sexy, like he was the hero on the cover of a romance novel. Steed crouches down beside the table, bringing himself to eye level with the teeny tiny Revenge. Ed watches him as he inspects the model, carefully examining each of the snapped masts in turn. "These things are very fiddly," Steed says, as he plonks himself onto his bum, right there on the hard floor. He crosses his legs, tucking them under himself as he scoots fractionally closer to the table. "Much easier with a second pair of hands." Ed's gaze travels across the broken model. He doesn't even remember breaking it. Must have been off his tits on rhino horn and cheap rum at the time. At least he'd had the wherewithal to stop it going overboard. He supposes that's something. It's not enough, though. Not enough to stop a wave of shame from rolling over him now. "You don't have to help," Ed mutters. "I broke it. I should fix it. It's stupid anyway. It's not like it's a priority when there's so much else around here that needs fixing." "I want to help," Steed says simply. "It would make me happy." Ed studies Steed's face for any hint of a lie, but he looks as earnest as ever. And, well, Ed's never been able to deny Steed anything that would make him happy. Ed nods and sits up, scooching to the edge of his seat. "I was trying to glue this mast back together, but the glue takes forever to set, and I can't hold it still enough for all that time." "Well, the good thing about working with a partner is that you don't have to," Steed says with a grin. "Here, let me show you." He shows Ed how to fashion a scaffold that will hold the mast in place while the glue dries. Getting it all in position is tricky work, though. Steed's right. It's a fuck of a lot easier with a second pair of hands in the mix. Finally, when all the pieces are in position, they carefully pull their hands away. Both men instinctively hold their breath as they wait to see whether the structure will hold. After a couple of seconds, when it becomes clear that the whole thing isn't about to collapse, they exhale simultaneously, prompting quiet giggles from them both. Mizzenmast complete, they move on to inspecting the mainmast. Steed's tongue pokes out from between his lips as he concentrates, figuring out the best way to tackle the next part of the puzzle. He mutters away, explaining his thought process to Ed as he works through the possibilities. Ed chips in with ideas of his own, and within a few minutes, they've come up with a solid plan of attack. "You're good at this," Ed says, as they set to work on the mainmast. Steed smiles, glancing up at him. "I used to build models like this with my children." Ed starts a little at the mention of Steed's family. Back at Anne and Mary's house, the realization that Steed had left him for them had felt like a bucket of ice water poured over his head. He can feel the echoes of that coldness even now. But it's not fair to expect Steed to never speak of his family. They're a part of him, and always will be, and Ed needs to be able to hear their names without retreating beneath a blanket. "So," Ed takes a deep breath. "You don't talk about them much," he murmurs. It's a quiet invitation for Steed to say more, if he wants to. Steed frowns, his hands briefly pausing in their work. "No, I suppose I don't." He resumes his fiddling, eyes fixed on the tiny ship before him. "I wasn't much of a father, really. I was too wrapped up in my own misery to give them the attention they deserved." Ed shrugs. "You did shit like this with them. It's more than my old man ever did with me." Steed huffs out a quiet, sad little laugh. Do you know, when I went back after the academy? Steed's eyes quickly flick up to Ed before returning to the model. My daughter wouldn't speak to me, not at first, and my son didn't even know who I was. Ed scrubs a hand over his short beard. The bristles catch on the calluses on his palms. Fuck, bro. That's rough. Yes, well, it stung, but I deserved it. I hurt them all terribly, leaving the way I did, in the middle of the night, with nothing but a note. A snide comment rises up Ed's throat like bile. At least they got a note. He bites the words back, swallows them down. They've been through all that. No need to pick at that fresh scab. Ed can be, will be, better than that. A silence settles over the two men, thick and heavy, with a million unspoken thoughts. Ed watches dozens of fleeting expressions dance across Steed's face, there and gone so quickly that it's impossible to guess what he might be feeling.
You love them, though, Ed says, when he can bear the silence no longer. Your kids, he clarifies, when Steed looks up at him, the question plain in the quirk of his brow. Steed smiles, and there's a warmth to it that belies the sorrow in his eyes. Yes, very, very much. Wait there, Ed says, setting aside the bits of wood he'd been working with. He scurries over to the empty bookshelves, trying not to let his gaze linger on the tally marks gouged into the wall. He pulls the lever and steps through to the auxiliary wardrobe. The autumn vibes and summer linens are long gone, the room now mostly empty save a few furs on the floor and a single chest pushed into the dark corner. The chest opens with a creak. Ed lifts out the deep blue velvet robe that lies on the top of the other trinkets and treasures that he had hidden from the Great Purge. He strokes his thumb lightly over the black silk cravat, its sweeter associations now tainted by the memory of the last time he tied it around his neck. He shifts Steed's copy of Pinocchio out of the way and carefully moves the delicate butterfly clips that he'd worn in his hair the night of the French party. After a bit of rummaging, he finds what he's looking for. Prizes in hand, he replaces the various objects and closes the chest once more. He feels oddly nervous as he pads back out to the captain's quarters. Maybe this will be the moment that blows it all wide. The moment that Steed will finally scream and yell at him for tossing all of his lovely shit overboard. The moment that this fragile thing that they are building together splinters beyond repair and Ed is forced to leave the Revenge for good. Heart knocking against his ribcage, he holds the two small frames out to Steed. Steed looks up, pushing aside a golden curl that has fallen across his forehead. His expression morphs from curiosity to shock before it softens into something tender and warm. "Oh, Ed, you kept them safe," he says, reaching out two trembling hands to take the portraits from Ed. "Yeah, well," Ed mumbles as he picks at invisible dirt beneath his nails. "Seemed like bad luck or something to chuck them in the sea." Steed rubs his thumb back and forth across the depiction of his daughter's profile. "Of course, wouldn't want to go inviting bad luck." Ed settles himself back down on the chair, groaning a little on account of the bruises that haven't yet fully healed. Steed sets the framed portraits down, carefully placing them side by side on the table. His eyes look a little glassy. He sniffs and visibly shakes off his melancholy. "Well, come on then, this mast won't fix itself." They get stuck back in, working together to build a scaffold that will hold the mainmast in place while the glue dries. Their conversation lulls as they concentrate on the task at hand. When the mainmast is in place and their hands safely withdrawn, Seed looks back over at the portraits. I used to play pirates with them, you know?
Yeah, Ed responds.
There's just the foremast left to fix now, and Ed feels confident enough to take the lead on that one. He begins fashioning the support struts, working silently to give Steed the space he needs to feel his feelings and think his thoughts.
Alma was always merciless. She took no prisoners, Steed chuckles.
And Lewis would trot along behind her, always his big sister's shadow. Ed can't help but laugh at the mental image of Steed mucking about with his kids, wooden swords clashing as they leapt about on the furniture. Steed's smile turns a little shy, his gaze briefly locking with Ed's before darting away again. A pink blush creeps up his cheeks as he speaks. I used to pretend to be you, the dread pirate Blackbeard. Ed grins. I'd have loved to see that.
Steed brushes glue onto the splintered foremast. I'm afraid it was a rather poor impersonation. All hellfire and fury and menacing swagger. Not like the real Blackbeard at all.
Ed clears his throat, his hands pausing momentarily in their work.
No?
No.
An impossibly soft smile creeps across Steed's face as he carefully maneuvers the tiny foremast into position. It turns out that the real Blackbeard is really quite lovely. He's kind and gentle and, well, just an absolute sweetheart.
Ed can't hold back the scoff of disbelief. Ed's been described as many things before, but never as lovely. Never as a sweetheart.
With trembling fingers, he sets about placing the mast supports.
It's true, Steed insists. And you know, I have it on very good authority that he once rescued a very foolish man from the deck of a Spanish warship and then nursed him back to health.
Steed hesitates, his gaze fixed on his and Ed's hands as they hold the foremast and supports together. When he speaks again, his voice is quiet.
I also heard that he's the type of man that feels everything so keenly, that he loves deeply and fiercely, and that he would do almost everything to protect the people he cares about.
Ed's vision swims a little as tears prick at his eyeballs. He blinks them back, swallowing against the lump in his throat.
Steed, can we let go of this now?
Yes, I think so, Steed replies, his voice now barely above a whisper.
Oh, thank fuck, Ed says. He releases the model, pulling his hands back as carefully as he can in his haste.
As soon as his fingers are clear of the model, he drops to the floor and launches himself at a surprised Steed, throwing his arms around his shoulders and burying his face in Steed's neck. Steed's arms circle him, squeezing him tight. They stay that way for a while. Steed begins gently rocking them from side to side, his thumbs sweeping in soothing little arcs up and down Ed's shoulder blades. Eventually, Ed pulls back, though he doesn't go far. He cups Steed's precious face, tracing the lines of his cheekbones with his thumbs. Steed's lips part slightly as he gazes at Ed, hope flickering in his eyes. Ed leans in. He rubs his nose against Steed's, drawing a chuckle and a delighted smile from the man. Finally, he closes the distance between them, pressing his lips to Steed's. Steed sighs into it. It's a sound that Ed wishes he could bottle so he could carry it around forever. He can sense Steed's hands fluttering around uselessly by his sides. He's clearly afraid to touch, unsure of what is and isn't allowed while their relationship is in this weird little limbo. And fuck, that just makes Ed love him even more.
It's okay, Ed murmurs against Steed's lips. He takes one of Steed's hands and guides it to his shoulder. You can touch me. Steed relaxes, sinking a little more into the kiss. Ed swipes his tongue along Steed's lower lip, just to sip on the gasp that it elicits. The temperature between them climbs, hands roaming over biceps and sliding down necks as their tongues brush up against one another. Ed breaks the kiss before his blood starts running too hot and his self-restraint snaps. He doesn't want to get carried away. They're taking it slow, after all. Being patient. Building a solid foundation for whatever they are becoming. He smiles as Steed's eyes slowly flutter open. That stray lock of golden hair has fallen once more across his forehead. Ed reaches out to sweep it away. Thank you for helping me fix the teeny tiny ship, Ed murmurs. Steed smiles back, his grin a little goofy and a lot kiss-struck. Thank you for letting me help. Ed takes Steed's hands in his own and begins idly playing with his fingers. We're gonna be okay, aren't we, Ed? Steed whispers. Yeah, mate, Ed whispers back. He draws Steed's hand up to his lips and kisses each of his knuckles in turn. I think we're going to be great. The End. If you enjoyed this story, please return to the archive to leave comments and kudos for temporal discounting. While you're there, in the written work, the author has linked some other stories set in the probation era in the end notes, some by them and some by some other authors. So I recommend checking those out if you enjoy this type of fic. It's one of my favorites. So if you like this, you'll probably like those as well. And of course, I love validation as much as anybody else. So if you enjoyed the podfic, I would also love to hear about that. And thank you so much for listening. On to the next.